Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
It is our final show of 2018 as we take a break for the next 2 weeks over the Christmas period. But rest assured, we'll be back with more JBT come January 7th. But for this week, it is business as usual. So as always, this week on JBT, we'll be talking that massive scrap between Phoenix, Memphis and Washington, what could have been, and obviously, where that trade led. We'll be chatting Steph's fake moon landing, Jabari Parker's fit on the Bulls, LeBron's comments on The Garden. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world, welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With me today in my very own boudoir, I'm going to use it again, two episodes in a row, it is staying.
Are we going to call this one boudoir now?
The Jack Manuel. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. I realised that when I'm in here with you, that I can't hear the start of you saying good. Like, I just hear the music. Maybe I need to take that ear off or something. I don't know. But little tidbit for all the fans out there. Whatever fans we have.
Good for you, Jack.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here.
But we're a team, mate. You got to support me in this shit. Come on.
My role in this relationship is to severely put you down at any given time. And what sort of a good friendship? What sort of a friendship would it be if I didn't do that?
It's true.
You need to be taken down a peg, mate. Your head's already big enough as it is.
I do have a large bonce.
Bonce.
Good word, yeah.
That's a mark right there. My name is Nick Busick. And did you know I learned a new word today?
Bonce.
I was going to do a different random fact, but that was just great. But is that Aussie slang? I've never heard that before in my life.
Yeah, I really...
Spell it for me.
B-O-N-C-E.
Oh, see, I would have said, like, B-O-N-T-Z.
You do the plug and I'll look it up.
Okay. All right. You can contact us a variety of ways on Twitter, at JBT Nick, or at the J-Man JBT. We're closely affiliated with OTG Basketball as well. They're an awesome podcast network, news website, where you can keep up to date with all things NBA. Make sure you give them a follow on Twitter, at OTG Basketball, and check their website out as well, otgbasketball.com. We are on Facebook, so facebook.com/justballthings. Give us a like and a follow there. Hit us up on email as well. You can we'll read the emails out on the show, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Insta as well, jbtpod. Is that correct? JBTpod, JBTpod.
The last time I posted was in 2012.
If you want to give us a follow there, why the hell not?
Bonds apparently is informal British, according to Google. And the sentence that it is used in, he will be wearing a hat to stop his bonce from burning. I guess now that you hear it, you can hear it in the British accent. He wore a hat to protect his bonce from
his
burning.
Bonce, yes. Quite so. Man, yes. Cup of tea.
Yeah. Cup of tea.
Cup of tea. No, that's Aussie.
We just say
cup of tea.
Yeah, we slangify everything.
Yeah.
There's plenty of like BuzzFeed articles out there that I always send to Ali, like where they compare Australia to America.
Mm.
And she's always just like, I don't want to read this because I know I'm already confused enough by your country.
We're a confusing bunch. Not as confusing as...
Oh, yes! I was... Good, mate. Well done.
Not as confusing as Busick Manuel Scale. For those of you who are new to the JBT podcast, it's a scale that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We scale it from alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or just straight up fact. Jackie boy, first one here.
Yeah.
No surprises where we're going to touch off here.
Oh, yeah.
The Wizards and two other teams have been in one of the most shambolic deals.
Good word.
All right, we'll mark that one. I love this. I've created a new system where I could just mark bits of the podcast on the fly, and so I don't have to go back and search later.
No one cares.
Love and life. They don't know what we're laughing about. I'm giving context, mate.
Okay.
I am a picture maker. Artist. I am an artist.
Picture maker.
I am a verbal artist. Yep. Okay, that's marked. Good start here. Anyway, this trade was as shambolic as this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Between Memphis, Memphis, Phoenix, and Washington. That is not the Busey Bad Wiles Gale, by the way.
It's close to
although
it.
Although it is fact.
Very.
The failed three-way deal between Memphis, Phoenix, and Washington was really one of the most laughable moments in recent history. From an off ball,
even just in like we're talking about not just basketball.
I don't know. Shaq doing a fall has a lot of memorable moments, but like this is just it's so befitting of two of the franchises in the Phoenix Suns, especially everything that's happened in.
Oh man!
I mean, we'll get to that later.
Yes, sir.
And Washington obviously being in shambles. It's just very fitting these teams to have this level of trade.
Yeah, it was. One of, and I mean, shambolic, all the words that we've used already, I don't even adequately describe how hilariously awful the two of the three teams involved were. Now, it was basically he say. Like, the Grizzlies were adamant that they said, no, we said Dylan. And then Phoenix was like, no. I got the wrong way around again.
For the people who don't know.
Okay, yes.
The deal was a whole bunch of trade pieces, but that's not what failed. The failed part was the player that Memphis had agreed to trade was Dylan Brooks.
So Suns thought it was Dylan
Brooks. Yeah, so Suns thought they were receiving Dylan Brooks.
Yep.
But Memphis weren't giving Dylan Brooks, they were giving Marshawn Brooks.
Yes.
And so obviously it all fell down there. You'd think you would have like maybe just a D,
D Brooks, M Brooks, but then they might think it's Mel Brooks.
If you're thinking you're trading for Mel Brooks, you get Marshawn Brooks, you'd be very disappointed.
There's another Brooks somewhat involved in this, Nicholas.
Scott Brooks.
Yeah, but
he's probably looking at this trade thing. I was like, what the hell?
Am I going to trade?
Am I getting traded to the Phoenix Suns?
I mean, he might make you guys better. Who knows?
It's a crazy NBA, mate.
Very
maybe
wild.
You can trade. Oh, having a trade coaches?
But, no, we actually did. The Nets did because Jason Kidd was still on the contract a few years ago. When he's an awesome coach, obviously. We traded him to Milwaukee because he just wanted to get out. He wanted more power, blah, blah, blah. And we got like a second rounder in return. So you can do it. I think Budenholzer
trade coaches.
Like, coaches, you can't trade coaches per se. Like you
throw it in. Like, you can take our assistant coach if
you get, like,
the deal.
Igor Kokoshkov or something. But no, yeah, this is just absolutely insane with what was happening. You know, there was picks, there wasn't picks. Yeah. The eventual deal ended up being between the two teams, Phoenix and Washington.
Yeah, Memphis were just like, we're getting out of this one.
Yeah.
We're not having a bar of it.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I don't think we will ever know what truly went on, because it's essentially based off, you know, one person's word. But the eventual deal ended up being Trevor Ariza from Phoenix, and the Wizards gave up Kelly Oubre and Austin Rivers. No picks involved, much to my boy's dismay.
Mm.
Essentially, this was a deal that worked out okay-ish for Phoenix. I hate Austin Rivers next to Devin Booker. I think that's going to be absolutely horrific. They still don't have a point guard, but they do get Kelly Oubre. I would have liked to see Kelly Oubre.
You can play Rivers at the point.
You can.
It's not ideal, but like...
Man, like there's like...
Better than Trevor Ariza at the point. And that's the only thing they lost.
Who knows, man. But yeah, I would have liked to see Kelly Oubre in Memphis as well. I think he could have been a really nice fit there. But Nick, I don't know. Like, you know, the following the tweets, like, you know, from Zach Lowe and Adrian Wojnarowski himself confused the names, as we did at the start as well. He's like, I'm hearing that the deal is being, it includes Dylan Brooks. No, I meant Marshawn Brooks. Maybe he was like relaying the exact information, because apparently what I heard was that despite being a three-way deal, the information being relayed was from Ernie Grunfeld or people in the Washington front office to Phoenix about Brooks. They just said Brooks. They didn't say Dylan, or what they construed was that it was Dylan rather than Marshawn. So obviously, there's enough Brooks in the entire league.
Yeah.
I mean, we're never going to... I think I tweeted out this. We're never going to see a Danny Green, Jeff Green trade in the future, because there's just too many Greens, mate. So it's just... Well, Andre, yeah, who knows?
One of the tweets that came out from this whole debacle, and like, the beautiful thing about doing this podcast is that this is a lot of fresh information for me.
So fresh.
So fresh hits of 2018.
Do they still have them?
No, I don't. I surely not. They CDs
have,
are dying.
They have like fresh hits.
They will have so fresh Spotify playlists.
I will look it up.
There would be. 100% there would be. Anyway, anyway, a tweet that came out after all this. Lakers are going to offer Andre Ingram for Beal.
Would you do it? I mean, the Wizards got it confused. You just write Ingram. You don't need to write A or B. Or you could like do like, you know how you always try and like mess up your grades.
Well, yeah, an A's can look
can
like
turn
a,
into
B.
A B. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I remember on The Simpsons when Bart was like turning D's into A's. Yeah, he could have easily turned them into B's as Lisa was laughing at him. Very, very amateur move by our boy Bart Simpson. If you're listening, Matt Groening, again, I think we've asked him for a sponsorship before. Have we asked Matt Groening for a sponsorship? Yeah.
I think we have.
Two times.
We have indeed. The quicker we can say it, the more money we should get.
Nick, still on the Suns. Robert Sarver is the worst owner in the league. Before we get to that, we'll provide some context. Obviously, the news from the week was that the Phoenix Suns, Robert Sarver apparently threatened to move the team to Las Vegas or Seattle if he didn't get his way from the local council in terms of getting
his
funding to get to get them a new training facility, as well as revamping their current arena. Let's hear from Robbie Boy, Rob Dog himself,
Rob Dog.
Sarvsky. Go, let's go with Sarvsky.
Hello, Suns fans. I hope you take a minute to listen to an important message that I want to share with you. First and foremost, the Phoenix Suns are not leaving Phoenix. I am 100% committed and have been for the last 4 years to find a solution to keep them in downtown Phoenix where they belong. I am a strong proponent, as evidenced by the term sheet that I signed last week, that we should renovate the Talking Stick Resort Arena and once again restore it to a world-class facility. In addition, it is important for the Phoenix Suns to build a first-class practice facility so the players of the Suns and the Phoenix Mercury can continue to develop. I am 100% all in keeping this team right here where we stand. And I want to make sure that that message comes across crystal clear to every one of you. Thank you.
All right, so, mate, we're getting back to our... heard the comments. Obviously, this was in relation to moving the team.
Yeah.
Is he the worst owner in the league?
He's certainly top three. I mean, I'd have him as the worst owner, so I'm probably going to go fact. But I also think that the Bulls owner, the Bulls owner is Jerry Reinsdorf. I think ever since, you know, MJ, they've been pretty shambolic. Maybe not shambolic, but some lesser synonym for shambolic. But yeah, I mean, why are you asking? Because obviously American sports and the NBA in general is privately funded.
Uh-huh.
Why are you asking for public funds to reform and renovate your arena?
Happens when... everywhere though, that's the thing.
Like, no, but it doesn't, like, because...
In America it does.
It does in America, but like, if you're comparing that to, say, Australia, where it's like, you know, the MCG, Telstra Dome, Whit Noble...
Stadium, mate. Marvel Stadium.
My bad. when they get, you know, transformed and renovated and whatever, they're owned by the government. Mm. So like, they're publicly funded, so whenever they're, you know, renovated, it's of a benefit to us in the public. Mm. Whereas he owns this organization. This is his entity. If you want to do this, do it your bloody self. Put your money where your mouth is. Like, you, most NBA organizations, I think in the recent Forbes list that they had at the start of the season, have a valuation of $1 billion. Put in a couple of $100 million to reform your organization so you can attract more players. Because I know current Nets player, former Wizard, Jared Dudley, has said that, you know, the Suns have one of the worst training facilities that he has played at. Funnily enough, he said that the Barclays Center and the facility they train at is one of the best. So, I'm not as angry as the individual, the lady who was at the town meeting. Do you want to hear her thoughts, mate?
Sure.
Cool.
Mr. Sarver has done nothing to improve this team in the 14 years he's owned it. He's never funded or bought paid for two or three key players, which make any sports team, professional sports team, successful or on the road to success. He's so tight, he squeaks when he walks. And you have been negotiating with this kind of person? Shame on each and all of you. And upon you, Ed, I thought your principles were higher and better than this. We are not in the business of paying taxes to support private enterprise, and especially not an entertainment enterprise. They can support themselves or fail on their own lack of diligence.
Woo!
Burn.
Greta.
By that logic, when you burn someone so hard, surely Greta owns the Phoenix Suns now.
I mean, you can't keep having Salva have it. No. Like, not after that. That's just too brutal.
But, I mean, she's completely warranted in what she said, you know, in terms of her criticism. And I think that, you know, and the funny thing was that we saw a response from the Phoenix Suns official account saying that the truth comes out. One Phoenix City Council member, meanwhile, backed away from his comment to say that Suns owner Robert Sarver told him he would go to Seattle or Las Vegas if the deal, arena deal, isn't approved. Like, why do you need to get, like, you know, whoever's the head of your social media to tweet this out? Like, it seems like, you know, there's real ego play involved. I don't know. Is it a fact for you, Nick?
It's up there. It's sort of easier for me to look closer to home. Like, a lot easier for me to look closer to home in terms
totally
of,
honest.
Like, exactly. So I'll put this one as a Wikipedia fact, because he's not a good owner.
No, he's not.
He's just not a good owner.
And they always say, you know, the biggest advantage in the NBA is the ownership advantage. If you have a good owner who sort of backs away, you know, a lot of the teams that we think are the best teams in the NBA, we don't know a lot about. Obviously, Joe Lacob is an exception, but, like, I don't know the name of the Boston Celtics owner. I don't know the name.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same with. It's the same sort of story you can take with politics.
Yeah,
because if you, like, if you come to election time, and you've been like, oh, I don't know what he's like. I don't know what he's done. That's good.
Really,
it means he hasn't done anything bad.
Okay,
because you have it. It's yeah. You'd never hear about the good stuff the politicians do, and if you haven't heard that he's done much or anything, then it means he probably hasn't screwed up.
We're turning into a political podcast here, mate.
It's the same sort of thing.
CNN.com.au.
Because you only hear about sports owners when they screw up.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue with Joe Lake is probably the only one that probably sticks out to me. But yeah, I think Mikhail Prokhorov has taken a step back with the Brooklyn Nets as well. And obviously, you know, the transfer of ownership to Joseph Tsai has been somewhat seamless. But Nick, what you got for me next, mate?
Luke Walton.
Yeah, I know him.
Do you know him?
Yeah, but don't pause it midway. Just say the whole bloody topic.
I know him. Do you know him? Luke Walton will always be on the hot seat for the Lakers as long as Magic Johnson is around.
Yeah, I think this is fact, Nick. You know, I think we might.
I don't even think it hinges on Magic Johnson.
Rob Pelinka?
The Lakers. They're the Lakers. So, and they want success. Any coach is going to be on the hot seat.
That's a fair point, actually. Like,
just being the amount of... Having the
scrutiny.
Amount of demand. Exactly. You're under the microscope constantly. And I guess you are as an NBA coach in general. But there's a lot less pressure elsewhere in the league.
Yeah,
than
I mean,
there
if you're Lloyd Pierce
in
Atlanta, like, you know... Exactly. If you're... I mean, Kenny Atkinson has been getting a lot of criticism from, you know, plenty of Nets fans, but Nets Twitter is its whole other thing. But yeah, if you are sort of Igor Kokoshkov or those sort of guys who
yeah, exactly,
the lesser
yeah.
teams. So yeah, I think that that is an incredibly fair point. So, but the context of this is that I think it was this morning, I think I literally woke up to the Bleach Report notification saying that Luke Walton doesn't reportedly fit the mold of what Magic Johnson wants in a head coach. And what Magic Johnson apparently wants is they want a sort of Pat Riley yelling, running gun style, you know, sort of guys, the old school style of coach, which is dumb. Like, let's be honest about it. Nick, you're a coach as well. I'll have my thoughts, but I'd like to hear yours. The new mold, or like just basically people, when they were responding on Twitter, they were just saying, this is just stupid. Like, why the current, you know, the best sort of coach in the NBA right now, Steve Kerr, Brad Stevens, are able to, you know, convey their points, are able to coach their teams without being rah 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 macho man
player
Randy
coaches.
Savage. Yeah,
it's the same in
not Jim
most
Boylan.
Sports that I have that I watch. Your player coaches tend to get a lot more out of your players because the mentality of the professional sports person has completely shifted over the past 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll be able to get another Michael Jordan is a good example. Great player, amazing goal, amazing spirit, amazing determination. That level that would never, that would, like, he gets yelled at, screamed at by a Phil Jackson, but who would know in himself and, like, and that level of, that level of brutality, I guess, would push him to go further.
He didn't necessarily get it, MJ, but, like, you, a lot of those sort of coaches would go after maybe the lesser likes to sort of get it out of them. And the best...
That type of motivation is not working. It's not working. The yell and screams, like, I'm going to put you down so that you're fired up and you're determined to do better. No, it's going to make people stop.
Yeah.
It's going to make people quit and pout and play it worse.
And that doesn't mean that coaching has lost its way in any sense of...
It's harder now.
It's and I think as well, it's because, and I'm stealing this from someone on Twitter, I can't remember who, because people want to be respected more in their workplace.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if your boss yells and screams at you, why aren't you getting this physics, engineering, paper done?
You're not going to get the respect.
Who's
going to
do it? Like,
exactly.
When I yell at the kids that I teach, most of the time, it's like a shock factor. Like, you want to do it, like, so out of the nowhere. Similar with coaching, because teaching is a form of coaching, so to speak. Like, you want to do it so it's like, oh, wow, I've never heard Steve Kerr yell like that. You know, you need to pick your moments, when to use that as a motivation tactic, so
it's,
to speak.
It's
but
more,
most of the time,
it's
it
more
doesn't
to
work.
Show, it's more to show, like, if you've got one person, like, trying their guts out, and then you're yelling and screaming, it's like, you didn't do this, you didn't perform on this. It's just like, well, it's like I'm struggling or whatever, like, the legitimate reasons. That level is where your yelling and screaming is going to take massive blowback. If the only time it would be suitable, I would think, is, again, the shock factor comes in, but it's shock factor when you need to, like, when you need to pull their finger out of their bums.
Shock factor and jolt.
So...
And energy.
Like, the only time you would use it is when they're not showing you the respect that you deserve as a coach.
Yeah.
So, like, if they're not doing their, like, if, for example, if I was a teacher, if they're not doing their homework, if they're goofing off in class, if they're, disrupting other kids from doing their work, like, that's when you can be like, hey, you're not showing me the respect of running this classroom. You're not showing your students respect, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Magic, at the end of the day, going back to this, Magic Johnson is very wrong. Luke Walton is learnt from one of the greatest player coaches around.
And
I've seen it in lots of other codes.
Yep.
Where if the manager and the players don't have a great relationship, you don't be successful. You don't be successful. I've seen it over the past 10 years in all the sports that I've, all the sports that I've followed. Player coaches tend to do the best.
This worries me a little bit with Magic Johnson as well, because other than LeBron, acquiring LeBron, I haven't really backed him in as sort of the head of the front office with Rob Pelinka right now. In terms of, I think the Lakers are doing well right now because they're on a nice stretch. You know, they've had some pretty easy wins. LeBron seems more engaged. Brandon Ingram, funnily enough, is out, and I think that's working better for them as a team, which we will get to. And, you know, there is a minor rumor, obviously, with Zach Lowe and Adrian Wojnarowski debuted their show as we near the trade deadline, that they are looking to really go after Anthony Davis. I mean, wow, shock factor right there. Mm. But, Nicholas, speaking of players, I do that a lot. I've got a better one. Let's just do the thing.
Segway's gone.
The moment's gone. Despite his comments, Stephen Curry does actually believe in the fake moon landing conspiracy. Do we want to give the listeners... Because I think a lot of people just read everything that happened and didn't actually hear what Steph said. And, like, it was, like, 3 seconds on the podcast for The Ringer and with Vince Carter and
Andrew
Iguodala.
Yeah, the Winging It podcast. Yeah.
I didn't listen to the episode. I found the exact timestamp so you guys can hear it and make your judgment and see if, you know, Steph is really has backed down from his comments.
We ever been to the moon?
Nope.
They're going to come get us. I don't think so either.
Elon I'm conspiracy.
Sorry, I don't want to start a conspiracy.
They ain't been on the moon.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
Mate, I think our friend Donnie T has some thoughts. Some thoughts on that.
Donald?
Wrong.
He always has thoughts on
that. I mean, he's always wrong.
I mean, yeah, there are always thoughts about
and
being
he's,
wrong.
And because he's always wrong, he can obviously say wrong very well.
He can.
So just one more time for the people.
Wrong. Yes, please.
I don't think he's reneged.
No.
I don't think... I I legitimately think he now thinks that the moon landing was not faked.
Yeah.
At the time of this recording, he was a firm conspiracy believer.
Let me give you some context, Nick. When he was asked by an ESPN reporter if he was trolling, air quotes, 1,000%. He repeated 1,000%. You never say 1,000%. No, like,
wrong.
No person.
Wrong.
No person wrong. Says 1,000%. Obviously, I was joking wrong. When I was talking on the podcast. I was silently protesting how stupid it was that people actually took that quote and made it law as, oh my God, he's a fake moon landing truther. Bro, how can you, like, take it out of context before you say it? I'd like, Jason Concepcion pointed this out on desktop. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you're making no sense. Like, they're taking it out of context, my comments. Taking what out of context? You made the comments
yeah,
and
you
then
made
people
the
reacted.
Yeah, exactly.
We didn't react to it before. Like, it's not like we knew in your... like.
It's not like a journalist... It's not like your full quote was like, can you imagine if someone said, we haven't landed on the moon?
Yeah.
And then a journalist cut it down and say, Steph Curry, we haven't landed on the moon.
Yeah, yeah.
It is completely in the context of what you were talking about.
I know.
Because what you were talking about was, have we landed on the moon?
Uh-huh.
And your answer was no.
Uh-huh. So dumb. It's so dumb.
But
I will give Steph credit because NASA came out. They were awesome about it in terms of how they reacted, offering to, you know, take him to the moon, blah, blah, blah.
Take him to the moon.
You know what I'm blunt. You know what I mean. But he had a conversation with, I believe, John Kelly, a former astronaut or something. I can't remember what his role is. But they had an Instagram live conversation. It was actually in my feed, but I didn't watch it. But it was obviously condensed, and the main quotes taken out from it was something really, really important and that everyone needs to hear. And this is from a very well-informed, intelligent person. This is from John Kelly. What happens is when people believe those things, they believe the other things that are more important, like climate change not being real and vaccines and, you know, 9/11 being a government conspiracy theory. That's what I recognize. And I think this is so important to have a conversation like this because it highlights science. And science is so, so important to our kids, to our country, to our economy. Damn bloody freaking right. Nick, you're a freaking scientist by fucking trade.
Am I? I guess.
You're
I am,
a former scientist.
I am a man who enjoys the scientific arts. Scientific arts.
Yeah,
engineers. Paradox.
And I think that was awesome. And kudos to Steph, but this is a fact. He still believes it.
I don't think he still believes it.
Maybe not after that conversation.
Not after everything he's been through. I don't think he was trolling, though. He legitimately thought that we had not landed on the moon. And there are a lot of people who are like that. And it's completely different to the people liking it to the flat earth thing. It's just like, oh, well, if Steph wasn't trolling, then, you know, Kyrie wasn't trolling.
Kyrie was trolling
from the start.
Kyrie was trolling, but Kyrie wasn't trolling as much because Kyrie is just like, and half the time, like, he continued to troll by just like, I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny enough, you played Donnie. Donnie is one of these people who doesn't believe in climate change. So, irony in the highest form. But we could do a whole podcast about this because we were incensed when we heard about it. Lou Williams responded, we will leave him with the final thoughts. And I quote from his Twitter on December 15th, ain't nobody been on that damn moon.
Ain't nobody been on that damn moon.
We will move on to another team in the Bay Area, in the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers will be a more appealing destination to free agents in 2019, Nicholas, than the Lakers.
Lakers.
Thoughtsies?
Maybe.
So that's Twitter?
Is that on the scale?
It's like Twitter.
I actually am on more of the negative side of this, so I will go a bit of a Twitter fact.
So you think that the Clippers have a chance?
I think given LeBron's gravity, science.
Gravitas.
Gravity's a myth.
Oh, Luke started. All right, we're going to timestamp this one. Timestamp it, mate. Give it that signature timestamp because that one's going viral. Gravity is a myth. You're going to get fired if anyone you know is listening to this. You'll be fired.
It is quite possible. No, obviously gravity is a myth.
Jesus.
I'm double down.
You don't think gravity's real? Nope.
Anyway, I think that LeBron's gravity in the Lakers can be a deterrent to some.
We talked about it last week.
They've already got the big superstar, so players that want to be the big superstar in a franchise aren't going to go to the Lakers. Like, a lot of players now are more concerned about being the guy on the team and seeing what they can create, which baffles me. Like, I guess I'm not bred that way, and I'm not an NBA player, and maybe you need to be bred this way to be a fantastic NBA player. Yeah. To be the, I am the guy. No, I'm not. I'm never backing down. Having that strength, I guess, may be a characteristic for being a very successful NBA player. And you know, whatever. But for me, if I'm thinking of this as a business, if I have a chance to play with the best person in, or to work with the best person in the business,
yeah,
for the opportunity to win X, Y, and Z jobs, have all the accolades.
But does that individually...
be celebrated. But it doesn't matter if people individually recognize you.
But if he steals your shine, Nicholas.
It doesn't matter.
You don't get the kudos you deserve.
It's the team award. When... I don't know. Like,
I think a lot of these guys are bred differently.
Yeah, of course. Your accolades won't come from the public. They'll come from your coaches, the people that matter, your family, your teammates. You're like, hey man, we legitimately could not have won this without you. Like,
yeah,
you were this important to this. Like, your mentality is right. Like, you're still a valuable member of the team, even though you might not put up the stats.
I think if you're talking about, the main people this relates to is Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. Let's not beat around the bush.
Yes,
and I think this has been said to death. Those guys.
So that's why I gave it to Twitter, because to those free agents,
they're going to go.
They're not going to go to the Lakers.
So you think the Clippers is more likely for those two?
For those two, yeah.
Yeah, I believe.
But for lesser known
Bradley Beal,
exactly. The Lakers is such a good opportunity for you to enhance your own personal status. Hey, if you're the second player on that team, that's still your championship.
Yeah,
like you would still be regarded as a two-time champion.
Yeah. Well,
whereas, like, your Andrew Bogut's of the world, your Zaza Pachulia's.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit that Zaza Pachulia won a ring.
Yeah. I always forget because we remember him more for his accolades in terms of,
like,
how...
what was his, Varejao? Like,
yep.
No one cares that Varejao got a ring.
He had a chance. He would have got
a ring either way.
Because he was on both teams that season.
Like, no, because it's not their rings.
Yeah, Woj and Zach Lowe on that show, I didn't watch it because I can't really access it, but like they were reporting that, you know, obviously Kawhi loves their LA weather. It's his home. He doesn't like Toronto's weather. And that was said at, like, you know, the last All-Star where he appeared there too. I don't know how much I buy into it because I don't know what Woj's connections are to Kawhi Leonard. And how, like, much, because we always say no one knows Kawhi. I think KD's a bit more, a little easy to analyze. But it does remain to be seen. The Clippers, you know, have reformed themselves into being an organization that is going to be a big player in free agency. We could easily flip this over to the East Coast and say, are the Brooklyn Nets a more appealing organization than the New York Knicks? I don't think so, because I think Chris Porzingis, if he comes back healthy, you've got the star there. We've got Caris LeVert to a lesser extent, Spencer Dinwiddie to a lesser extent. But of course, I'm going to talk about the Nets. But Nick, do we want to move on? Any final thoughts?
Nope, I'm all good. I think
I've got a wiki for this.
A bit higher. So I think, yep, like what I said was more or less perfectly how I feel, of course.
You generally say what you feel.
What I feel.
Yeah.
The Lakers will still be a destination because of LeBron and his gravity, but for the big free agents, they're not touching LA.
No, yeah. We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. You know, there's trades that can happen. The NBA is a funny thing. This entire episode. Now, obviously, there has been a lot of drama in Chicago. We found it difficult, namely me. Nick and I were talking about it on the way to watching Spider-Man yesterday. I'm like, how do we like put this down into one music manual with the week that Chicago has had with Jim Boylan, Jabari Parker? We decided to go with Jabari Parker because it has been more recent. Yeah, right, I can't hear it, but cool. So we boil it down to Jabari Parker. And Jabari Parker being traded by the Bulls is all but set in stone. So it's fact.
Yeah. Someone will take him. Someone will take him. It wasn't too long ago where he wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
Not terrible. Not number two pick.
Good.
Exactly. But not how he is at the Bulls. I see a very similar thing to Trevor Ariza with the Suns. Bad organization. Don't want to perform.
Nick, OTG Nick Faye and I talked about the chances of another team, i.e. the Nets, taking him on. The Nets won't take him on in terms of playing purposes. I don't think that there might be some teams out there that will, but he is also on a somewhat friendly deal in the sense that it's 2 years, $40 million, but the second year is a team option. So you can just buy him out and, you know, use that money and create a roster spot same time. I remember I did a piece for OTG Basketball in July when this first happened. And it was part of my list of the worst new fits. And, you know, I said because of obviously the glut of front court players that they have, you know, Larry Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., all these guys are 4s/5s. So I just think that he's not a good fit, and it's been proven to be so. He's horrible defensively. He's going to be on his way out, so this is a fact. But, you know, the Bulls organization, their problems are much larger than Jabari Parker. Similar to a lot of people have made this comparison to Carmelo Anthony and how he relates to Houston and their problems. Jabari might be somewhat of a scapegoat for it. They did have a decent win today against the San Antonio Spurs. You know, Jim Boylan's best friend, Greg Popovich, he got a little one-up on him. But, Jabari, he's certainly going to be heading somewhere sooner rather than later.
Fun fact here, mate.
Give me it.
Jabari's averaging the most points this season so far, 15.2. Second most points of his career.
Okay, that's decent.
Surprising.
Yeah,
actually.
I was surprised by that.
Because I was thinking, his Milwaukee days, he wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
Obviously, his 20-point season
ACL.
Was his...
Yep.
Yeah, so he played 31 games last year, but 12 points a game.
Yep.
Coming off a fresh ACL, I don't think that's... It's not great. Shooting decently, 48% from the field. His shooting's down. He's taking more shots, obviously.
He's not
efficient.
He is abhorrent.
He's probably because he's getting more opportunities at Chicago. That's probably why that points total is bumped up a little bit.
Yeah.
I still think he can be effective. That's why I think he can still be traded.
Yeah.
He's not going to get... I mean, it's also a very very possible that they just keep him and buy him out and then...
Who knows? Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he does land in terms of, you know... I don't think, you know, he's essentially on his way. I think the reporting today was that, you know, they've had talks with other teams. No teams have been mentioned, but, you know, you can make an assumption.
If we didn't have to give up much for him, I would honestly take him.
I was about to
Wizards.
Say, yeah, like, he's worth a flyer, but, you know.
Teams that just, like, at the end of the day, he's a wing.
Yeah.
Like, he's in a coveted
but remember
position.
Remember those comments where, like, in the... I think we talked about this on the pod, where he was saying, you know, players don't get paid to play defense. Well, Jabari, maybe you got paid a little bit more and you wouldn't get traded if you did play a little bit of defense. but maybe I should be Jabari's agent.
Wow, I've never seen that before.
His win shares?
-0.2. I've never seen a negative win share.
There's been plenty of negative win shares. I think Josh Jackson is...
Obviously, I'm not looking at their basketball reference pages.
Yeah. I mean, we love basketball reference, yeah. But Nicholas, quickly touching on the Denver Nuggets, Paul Millsap's toe injury and to a lesser extent Gary Harris's injury will prevent the Nuggets from reaching a top seed in the West.
Yeah. Everything needed to go...
They're first now,
everything
though.
Needs to go... I still think that injuries will catch up them and they'll decline.
Yeah.
They had a little bit... They had that hot start. Few bumps in that second month.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just pessimistic me, and I really want my pick to be right.
Yeah.
On
you don't
Nuggets.
Want the Mavericks to
yeah.
go well.
Yeah.
I actually don't want them to go well either, because we've got their first round pick. So if they're
well, yeah, there you go.
We've got a shared interest, a shared common goal.
But I was right with the Victor Oladipo injury, yeah. in that it did not affect the pace as much.
Yeah, he's back now. He's performing.
Paces, I think, are like 9-1 this month.
Miles
They've
Turner
been
has just stepped
flying.
It up. I think Corey would like to hear that sound bite, because some positivity towards his paces from you.
Yeah, they've been super impressive.
Yeah.
Especially with Oladipo. But that means I'm going to be right about this one.
Okay.
And for the Nuggets, for anyone really to make top seed, everything had to go right.
So,
I think they've already... Gary Harris, I think, is already...
Out for 3 to 4 weeks.
I confuse my Harrises.
Yeah.
There's a few Harrises
Tobias.
In the league. Tobias.
Imagine Tobias...
For some reason, I don't... It's Joe and Gary. It's because they're just
we're not,
white names.
We're not going to see them in a trade either.
Joe Harris and Gary Harris.
And Tobias Harris.
Oh, yeah.
three-way
deal. You just trade Harris's.
Well, I mean, we've been linked to Tobias Harris.
That actually would not be a bad for you.
I don't mind that. I would love Tobias Harris, Joe Harris is my favorite player.
He's one of the best three-pointers in the league,
yeah,
I think, at the moment.
He's third
in
three-point percentage.
Yeah, there you go.
I have an insatiable love for Joe Harris.
But we are segueing like crazy here. Gary Harris has been out for a while, it feels like.
Yeah, I think he's been out for a couple of weeks so far. I think he should be back soon-ish. But the Denver Nuggets are staying above water. The fact that they're still first, I give this Twitter because it can happen. But I think that they've established a good enough base and they have good enough depth. They got Swaggy P.
Swaggy P.
He's back. Funnily enough, Michael Malone was like in the post-game press. He's like, I'm not calling him Swaggy. Nick Young, he's threes for us tonight. I'm just like...
Fair enough. You expect that from a coach.
Yeah, yeah, obviously. I think probably Steve Kerr probably would call him Swaggy. He's like the cool dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that they've established a good enough base that I still think that they can get home court advantage in the playoffs. But it is an absolute bloody shit show there
home,
in Western Conference.
Like, this was top seed, wasn't it?
Top seed is top
four. Oh, reaching
four for me.
A top seed. Oh,
forgot the A.
I'm
mate.
Sorry,
forgot the A.
I'm thinking the top seed.
No, the top. Gold's
then
state.
Yes. Sorry, I'm on. I am definitely on the same page
Reverse
as you.
Tack,
I might actually
completely.
Be a little bit higher on them.
Okay.
For reaching a top four, yeah.
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 They've established,
but not
their
a top one.
Yeah. I mean, their defense. It's going to be interesting to see how their defense, and they've already sort of. Been okay with it, without you know the absence of Paul Millsap, who has revolutionized and been the real fulcrum of that sort of defense. But Nick, on another a top team in their respective conference is the Toronto Raptors. The fact Toronto aren't on the slate of Christmas Day games is a complete aberration by the schedule makers, Nicholas. Now, do you want to hear the slate of Christmas games that we shall be watching together?
Sure.
I expect you over at my house at 4 a.m. when they start.
4 a.m. On Boxing Day?
No, I'm obviously lying. Come over whenever, mate. We'll have a bit of fun, watch some ball. But the Bucks take on the Knicks is the first game, followed by OKC taking on the Rockets, then the 76ers and the Celtics, then the Lakers and Golden State, and then Portland and Utah.
It makes zero difference.
Zero.
For us as Australians, because we watch the games... through
Day.
League Pass.
Yeah.
Like we can watch any game anytime. I'm more likely to watch a Toronto game than a Knicks game.
Yeah.
Because I'm on the other side of the world. It doesn't make a difference.
KO Sports,
if
though,
you
baby.
Are in New York, you're probably going to watch more Knicks games than you will Toronto games.
That is true.
If you're in America, you're going to be watching more American sports than Toronto.
That's true.
So I completely understand from an American scheduling point of view. These are what Americans want to watch, and then unfortunately the Knicks are a massive market, so they're going to play every
the
Christmas
TV market.
Day.
But like Portland, Utah,
that is a little bit of a weird.
Like, come on, bro! Like you couldn't like.
But to be fair, Utah were touted as one of the best, going to be one of the best teams in the West.
You could do Utah, Toronto, replace Portland. I don't.
Yeah, I don't understand the Portland.
Utah.
Yeah, Portland. Yeah,
but you do make the fair point.
That
about
is
Utah.
A strange one.
Yeah.
But Utah were definitely on the up
that,
at
I
the start of the season.
So I think Utah, Toronto would have been fine. But obviously, you know, you've got to take into effect, you know, the Eastern Conference road trips.
You plug Utah, Toronto in there, and then everything, like the snowball effect happens.
For
everyone
the rest of
changes. Like the road trips don't line up anymore.
Yeah.
It is an extremely hard job, and I assume they've got some sort of algorithms
they
that
do.
Actually
they,
make
There was a
the
podcast that where they discussed.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've been able to obviously lessen the back-to-backs to four games in 5 nights, all that sort of
thing. But it is not easy to create a schedule of 82 games with 30 teams, even if it is computer-generated.
Lessen the games.
You need to put in all of those parameters that you just mentioned before. The no back-to-backs. See how the road trips. You've got obviously a constraint of when the season needs to end, finish. When a game seven of the final series has to be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of constraints in there. And so you do your best.
Yeah.
And there would be constraints like New York. Play Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Lakers, play Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Who are the top teams? Your Celtics, play Christmas
Warriors.
Day. Warriors.
Those would be the four givens probably for the next 5 years.
Was a Rockets playing?
Yeah. The Rock.
Exactly.
You guess based off the market as well as the performance. I think Golden State.
Because people want to see like big teams. Obviously, your Texas teams are big.
San Antonio, Dallas.
Exactly.
One of those has to play.
And then you put the best one of them, which, you know,
Houston,
not anymore. No. It's
Dallas, probably.
Dallas. Yeah, Dallas would probably. And I would love to see Luka on a Christmas Day
game.
Yeah,
it'd be fun. Ooh. Maybe next year. I think they'll probably come next year. But Nicholas, Draymond Green is still a contender for the Defensive Player of the Year, despite missing a large chunk of the season to date. Let's hear Draymond's thoughts about his contention for the award.
Kawhi beat me 1 year. I think he played 56 games, something like that. So, hell no, it's still on my mind. And I'm going to get it done.
Will it be harder now, though?
Nope. I just got to come back and lock the league up, which I'm more than capable of doing. I think I've proven that. So, nope.
Draymond.
Should we get our friend Donny T out again?
No, Nick. We've been doing enough love.
The point is, Draymond is like wrong in his fact. He obviously didn't fact check before he
said gotta do
these
that.
crazy things. 57 games, I think Draymond 56. Just said. 56 games. He's like, 56 games, that's what Kawhi had played when he won it. Wrong, he had played 66 games.
And 64 the 2 years that he won the award.
Well, exactly.
So he played 8 to 10 games more, which is a discernible difference in my eyes. But can Draymond win it? He is on pace for 60. Was it 68 that I said? He's at 16 games now.
68, yeah. He's played 16. They've got 52 more.
So 68 more. He'll finish the season, barring any rest games, which he will.
So
he might be around that same mark as Kawhi was.
Yes.
So if he's available for the majority of the season, barring a game or two.
I mean, it's possible, but I don't think it'll
be. We chatted about the Defensive Player of the Year last week, and we said, you know, Robert Covington, Marcus Gasol,
he wasn't
Steven
even
Adams.
In that conversation.
No, but I think.
Because he had played so little games.
Yes. And I think if we do revisit that, and I remember last year we did do a midway point where we did our awards. I think we should do that again. And Draymond Green could certainly be in that conversation. I think he's on the fringes of it. I think when you've got the reputation of him, Gobert, Kawhi Leonard, you're always in that conversation. But right now, like a lot of the other awards, it's very much an open race. We discussed it already. So we will move to our final Busick Manuel Nicholas. And if it's your our favorite guy, LeBronny James.
Brom Bron.
BJ.
Second last.
Oh, we got the other goat.
Yeah.
Hey!
LeBron would have made New York a finals contender. I mean, they would be in the playoffs, no doubt. Look at what he's done to the Lakers. And then when Porzingis comes back, which is hopefully next year, February.
Yeah, they're saying that, but
yeah.
He's a big man. he's a large fellow.
Unicorn, buddy. But yes, this is obviously coming in light of LeBron's comments.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're
happening
in the middle.
Nick doesn't care about this topic at all.
I honestly couldn't give a crap. And
do you
want to
hear the comments?
Listening to The Ringer.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Chris Ryan, Justin Verrier.
No. Chris.
Ryan.
Verno. That's right. I really like his takes. Anyway, doesn't matter. He also thought it was, and KOC thought it as well, listening to the mismatch, and they thought, it's just like, why are we talking about this? It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
No.
He didn't go to New York. Who cares?
Yep.
And then when you see New York fans like losing their shit, oh man, he could have come to us. Okay. He could have gone to 29 other teams as well. I'm not sitting here lamenting that... Lamenting is a good word.
Yeah.
It is a good word. Lamenting that... Just cut the train of thought there. That he could have gone to the Wizards. Oh, man, we would be so good. Grumble, grumble, grumble. No! That's my thoughts on the opinion. Jack wanted to talk about it anyway because it was absolutely going mental on Twitter.
Yeah.
But let's actually hear what LeBron had to say.
Talk about that over dinner. And I'll tell you what, Miami is staying in town, so they will be doing just that.
Okay, so unless you've been living under a basketball rock over the past week. Obviously, if you didn't catch it there, it's very faint. You can hear it, though. You can rewind
it's Hero of the Garden,
that's
it.
It's Hero of the Garden, that's it. So insinuating...
He's going to Boston, TD Garden!
Insinuating that he is obviously... Obviously, Boston was on the cards.
He hates Boston
and New York,
so much.
And New York. Yeah, and so obviously New York fans lost their mind.
Yeah.
So, Bruce Manuel, very quickly.
Yep, sure.
Would LeBron have made New York a finals contender?
Fact, he makes everyone a finals contender.
Exactly. This is,
he's
this
LeBron
is
James.
Why this is not to be talked. Like, it doesn't matter. It's in the
Should
past.
We get to the next one, Nick?
It doesn't matter. I am not done.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I am done. I am very much done. Speaking of greatest of all times, even though that...
Plural.
Conversations.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who are potentially greatest of all time, but are not.
Oh!
Michael Jordan.
Take that, Slappy McGee. Slapsy.
Adrian Fumato.
Yeah.
Don't at me. If
one person. I don't even think he's on Twitter.
If peak Michael Jordan were in the NBA today, he would basically be Harrison Barnes with the Gary Gambling Edition. Who wrote this, Jack?
I saw this on
Where
Twitter.
Did you get this from?
The person is Kyle Newbeck. I think he's at the Philly Voice. He got it from somewhere. He didn't explain where from. But I had seen this before. And I'm like, I'm going to put it in. Now, Jesus Christ.
Just read, like, I've got this link open. I'm reading the things.
The responses.
And then, yeah, the responses. And then just some of them. So, all right. So the tweet is like, I found it. The hottest Michael Jordan take of all time. And he's got a little snippet from an article. I think overall athlete improvement happens very fast, even faster than we realize. Piping hot take. If Michael Jordan were in the NBA today, he would basically be Harrison Barnes with a gambling addiction.
Then
the comments are just like, one of them's like, this could be the worst take I've ever read in basketball. Then Rod replies like, true. He would be more like a bald DeMar DeRozan.
I actually don't... Look, I actually think that's kind of
I mean,
accurate.
That's closer,
I could maybe even give that a Twitter. But the Harrison Barnes one? Nah. Barnes is pretty... Well, Harrison Barnes is a good
I agree
player.
With the point. It's like, people... Sort of fantasize isn't right.
Romanticize.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we're on the same wavelength.
I'll romanticize you.
They
later.
Romanticize these players of old.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that they were skilled. I have no doubt that they were
like
good.
Bill Russell. Like Bill Russell's versus like guys who were like unique.
Exactly. But it's like the game has developed so far in a league. For a league to field X amount of players, which would be maybe a tenth of the amount of players in the NBA right now. There's a bigger pool of NBA players right now. It's a bigger spectacle, so more people start at a younger age. Players get better. The development of players has changed so much over the past 50 years, and I agree with the take here in that athletic improvement happens a lot faster than we realize.
Yeah, it does.
And so people romanticize these old things and then don't appreciate exactly what they're looking at.
But like Michael Jordan was one of the most fierce competitors.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It wasn't that long ago. If Michael Jordan was in the 60s,
Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain,
those people have lost their stuff because people give them respect votes because they were the pioneers.
Yeah, yeah,
that
definitely.
Brought the league to where they
definitely,
are. But if they were to play mid-level guys now, I don't think they will. They could hold their own.
Oh, no, but that's... I think that goes without saying, and I think most people would be able to recognize
that. But people
that.
Put in their greatest of all time, Wilt Chamberlain might be number three on their list.
Yeah, I mean...
And I'm like, Wilt Chamberlain's not better than Kobe Bryant, and I don't like Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
He's not better than Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, I think it depends on how you value your greatest of all time in terms of basketball impact over skill. And I get what you're saying there. And I mean, if we're comparing the skill of Michael Jordan... The best mid-ranger of all time,
mm-hmm.
one of the most clutch players of all time. Mm-hmm. I don't think Harrison Barnes is that clutch. I think his clutch percentage is horrible.
It's a bad take in that comparison.
But DeMar DeRozan isn't horrible.
That's not, because DeMar DeRozan was in MVP talks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, if DeMar DeRozan was born to play basketball in the 90s.
Well, LeBron talked about, obviously, because I think they were heading to Charlotte, and obviously Michael Jordan gets brought up on any occasion that they can. So I think bringing him up and asking him, and I think LeBron said he met him when he was 16. It was like meeting God. It was a godlike experience. But I think a lot of people would be saying that about him these days. So it, like you sort of said, they're paving the path for these new sort of players. But at the same time, MJ, LeBron, that is essentially the GOAT conversation. There's people that will say Kareem, there's people that will say Magic Johnson, people that say Larry Bird.
There are people that are wrong.
There are people that will say Kobe frickin' Bryant, and there are people that will say Joe Harris, and they're right. third best 3-point percentage in the league, thank you very much. But yeah, Steph's probably, Steph's, a lot of people will probably become Steph stands and say,
yeah.
There are so many that will put him, above a lot of players when he shouldn't be. But it's a fun conversation to have. I don't know. I still, as strong in your convictions as you and Adrian are, I still don't know where I stand. And I think once LeBron retires, I'm going to need to pick.
You're
going to
need you need that breathing space.
Yeah,
you need LeBron to retire. Then you need a couple of years, maybe even because he'll be first ballot induction Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Obviously,
he should be in the Hall of Fame already.
You need time to after the Hall of Fame, because people you see highlights of Hall of Fame and then they get inflated again. You need a couple of years for it all the dust to settle.
Yeah.
And then you'll see LeBron James standing there as the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And I will guarantee you that.
All right. Guaranteed. We'll make sure. I guess that has to be a soundbite. Timestamp it, maybe? I don't know. Let's finish off with JB Team of the Week and Rookie Watch.
JB Team of the Week.
Yes, for those of you who are new to the podcast, JB Team of the Week is where we select the best players who have performed in the week in their position and give them votes there. Did you want to take this one, mate?
Yeah, mate, I'll give it a go. Just to change it up, skis. Point guard position, Stephen Curry led the Warriors in their win over Minnesota with 38 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. At the shooting guard position, James Harden had an awesome week. His standout performance was that 50-point triple-double, 50 mm-hmm. points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. Fourth of his career, carried the Rockets to a victory over the Lakers. Harden was 14 of 26 from the floor, 4 of 12 from 3-point range, and got to the line 19 times. I know a lot of Lakers fans weren't happy about that, including Kyle Kuzma. Small forward position, Kevin Durant finished with 33 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists in a close win over the Sacramento Kings. The power forward position goes to Giannis Antetokounmpo at 19 points, 19 rebounds, 6 assists in an impressive win over the Raptors. And at the center position, Anthony Davis was special in the Pelicans' win over the Thunder, scoring 44 points on 16 of 32 shooting and 11-11 from the free throw line. Also grabbed 18 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block to go with it. And I'll give a minor shout-out to LeBron James and Lonzo Ball today, who both had triple-doubles, I think the first time since Vince Carter and his team in 2007, and the first ever Lakers since Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to do so. Lakers fans would probably be angry at me if I didn't say that, and we just speak about the Lakers a lot, so I'd better give them their kudos or they're going to stop listening, Nicholas.
Good call. All right, let's have a look at Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella!
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yeah, for those who are new, we award 1, 2, 3 votes. The rookies based on their weekly performances. At the one vote, we got Kevin Huerter in a blowout loss to the Celtics. Hawks rookie Kevin Huerter led his team in scoring 19 points, 7 to 10 shooting, to go with 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Very nice all-round performance there from Kevin. Kev Dog.
Kevy.
2 points. DeAndre Ayton still putting up points. 20 points, 12 rebounds, and an OT loss to the Clippers. It was the rookie's 15th double-double of the season. He is certainly a Padnadu stats.
Yeah, man.
3 votes goes to the one and only rookie of the year, Kevin Knox.
Oh, come on.
Tied his season high, 26 points, and set a new career high, 15 rebounds in a loss to the Hornets. The rookie became the second player in NBA history to compile at least 25 points, 15 rebounds in a game before his 20th birthday, which was LeBron James in 2003.
Nice one.
Mate, we have gone overtime by 8 seconds.
Oh, no!
We're at 1 hour and 10 seconds now, and the more I talk about it...
Just do the spiel.
All right. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Just Ball Things. So I'd like to say thank you for downloading and listening. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Pods, Google Pods, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Do us a solid and leave us a rating or review there as well. Helps us out heaps. So remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, stars.